Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least four shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
So I want to keep people in tuned on the radio, because some of you, unlike us, start your day at 8 o'clock or 7:30 and are wondering why we are concerned about Carlos Estevez. This was what Vern had to say yesterday when we were asking about the World Baseball Classic and players going.
Worse or better afterward. Lugo, Waka, they've been doing it long enough. I could say the same for Carlos Estevez. You know, the thing is with Carlos, like we saw last year in spring training, the velocity's not there at all for Carlos. But at this time last year, that's exactly what was happening. And he, as only he can, kind of laughs it off, and I'll be fine. This is normal. It takes me a while to really get it ramped up. Now, last year he had a back issue. Doesn't seem as if he's dealing with anything right now. But you saw the video of Vinny taking a bridge, and he waves at the ball. Carter Jensen did something similar, and Carlos was waving at the ball. Jack took him oppo, 400 and some odd feet. So he struggles with lefties. And look, if this guy's going to be the closer, I would imagine he's going to be – he needs to be well over 90, right, with that heater. And I don't know if it's there right now. So, we'll see. We'll see. He's got another week here, and if – things don't start to turn around for Carlos, I don't know what role he would serve for.
So you could go back and say, well, he's also letting you know that last year we had the same story, and last year there was a back issue, and this year there's not a back issue, but it's still the, trust me, I'll be fine. I'm the vet. Let me get used to this, and I'll get things back to where they need to be at, 93, 94 miles per hour. But, this year's different. There's a World Baseball Classic that he is going to go participate in, and not be at the team's facility in Arizona. So that's why the level of concern is there, because now this is a second year where we have to think, okay, he did it last year. Can he do it again this year? Whereas last year, the resume would say 42 saves. I led the major leagues in saves. Everything will be okay. But again, will it? So that's why I think there's a little bit of concern that we're having that conversation again on February 23rd, as we had yesterday. But
I mean,
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's in the Vern's voice, too, and the way that he kind of talks about that. He's like, I'm very concerned, very, very concerned with what I heard there. And that wasn't all that he said yesterday, too. Then he talked about Ursig, and he said that guy hasn't been consistent since 24. So, there's no backup plan right now. The thing about closers, guys, very much like the running back position, once those wheels fall off, they're done. And closers have short shelf lives in Major League Baseball. If you could get 3 years out of a closer, I think you've gotten a lot out of a closer. It's usually about a 2 to 3 year window, and then they fall off. And they're not all Mariano Rivera's out there who pitch forever and just dominate, right? That's the exception to the rule. Most of these guys, look at Wade Davis, after 2016, you really didn't hear from Wade Davis much anymore. And so they moved him along. And so it just happens. Guys lose it very fast at that closer position. It's almost like you have to have the next guy ready to go. And I don't know if teams plan that way or how they think or how they determine their roster and their depth with the closer position. But man, if Estevez can't go, that's just but if he's not any good, it's a major, major black eye for the Royals.
And this was Vern's response to the possible closer issue.
Yeah. Yeah. He, but that was the case last year. He wasn't 100% until May, and it was a grind early on. And from doing the post-game shows, I understand the fan base wanted Lucas Ursek as the closer for a majority of the season, but Ursek wasn't what he was when he came over in that trade. I still think Estevez is the guy to start the season. To me, Matt Strom has acknowledged that's not necessarily who I am. I like being the fireman. You know, Urseg would be the next guy you would choose, but I haven't seen that dominant Lucas Urseg since the end of the 2024 season. So right now the Royals are going to trust Carlos. We'll see how the next month plays out. Had last year not played out the way that it did, I think they would be a little bit more concerned within the organization.
So there you go. Josh Vernon, your Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, Bobby Witt Jr. going to sit down with Vern on Vern's Hot Stove Thursday at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. You can go to All Things Vern if you ever miss one. Last week was Jack Caglione, and also it was Chris Bubich. And our spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, the best deal on airport parking. Bob, the floor is yours. Bonehead of the week.
Bob's Boneheads.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's heads? There's an S on there? So there can be more than one.
Well, this week there is only one.
Oh.
And
is it an airport or an airline?
No, it is not. Not yet. This week's young.
True.
It's only Tuesday.
There's been a lot of weather in the area.
Weather. Now, if you are a flyer and you're acting like a jerk at the airport because your flight has been canceled by 36 inches of snow on the East Coast, yeah, you can go.
Kiss my ass. Like,
calm down, Karen, okay?
Yeah.
Sit back down and realize you ain't getting to Jersey today, okay? It's going to be a minute.
It ain't all about you.
You know, it really isn't, but I was watching on the box last night, the Providence News, 36 inches of snow, and last night they were doing live shots, and there was blacktop already showing. They moved that snow out fast on the East Coast. But my bonehead is Artie Moreno, the Angels owner.
Mm.
And I've never been a huge fan of the way that he runs his operation out in Los Angeles. He's always been concerned more about putting butts in the seats and you know, generating money than he is about winning baseball games. And that proves, based on what he said the other day. This got lost in the Friday news dump and then got lost yesterday in the excitement that was the gold medal championship for our United States hockey team. But Artie Moreno was doing an interview with the Orange County Register and downplayed the importance of fielding a winning baseball team. I'm going to ask you guys this question. I want this text line to weigh in on this as well, because I think everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a take on what this is all about. And this is what he says. The number one thing fans want is affordability. They want affordability. They want safety, and they want a good experience when they come to the ballpark. Okay. Believe it or not, winning is not in their top five. So Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, who is not on the same level as fans, obviously, is telling people out loud that winning is not in the top five of things fans want when they go to the ballpark. You're right. It's not in the top five. Probably is the number one thing that fans want. Why do you root for a team? You want to see your team win. Why do you get upset because your team loses? At no point in time did I ever think the number one thing that I wanted at the ballpark was affordability. That's not the first thing that crosses my mind. I know that when I go to a game, it's very expensive, and I'm there, and I'm going to spend the money, and I just know what I'm in for when I go to a game. Safety, I guess you want to feel safe. I don't know that that's on the fans' credo of things that they want at a game. Now, thou shalt provide us thy safety when we go to a baseball game. I don't think fans care much about that. A good experience comes with winning. And so the bonehead of the week goes to the owner of a Major League Baseball team who legitimately said out loud, winning is not in the top five of things that fans care about. Then what do they care about? Why do they root? Why do they buy their jerseys? Why do they have favorite players? Why do we have favorite teams? You wake up every year on March 1st or whenever spring training starts and goes, damn, let's go, let's win. Or when training camp starts in football, let's go, let's win. Every fan wants to win. And for an owner to say that, that's as out of touch as you could potentially be with your fan base, saying winning is not in their top five. I can't believe an owner would ever say something like that. And therein lies the problem, fellas, with Major League Baseball.
Somebody says 3816, the Royals may only win 50 games, but that dollar dog is too good of a deal.
Yeah. The attendance shows that too.
Yeah.
Your
teams win, fans
they
go.
If not for money, that guy would be a loser from the 62.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I was going to ask what gives him the confidence to be so boldly stupid, but baseball does.
Well, what gives him the confidence, Mac, is being out of touch of what matters. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm not on the same level. You're not on the same level. We're not on the same level as these billionaires, right? But if you're going to be an owner of a company, and that's what the Angels are, and you're trying to get people to buy your product, I don't know, have a good product, and people will buy that product. And the better you are, the more money that you're going to make, and the better off you're going to be as that business owner. Every one of these owners looks at payroll as an expense instead of looking at it as a way to go out there and make their team better and put more butts in the seats and field a better operation. Mm-hmm. They look at payroll like it's the devil's juice. I'm not paying for that. Meanwhile, every one of these owners, meanwhile, every one of these owners is getting $200 to $210 million every year of free money from the central fund, and only 12 of those owners are spending that money or more on their salaries. And so these guys are all pocketing this money and basically running the greatest grift of all time.
I think this guy just has Disneyland confused with what his team is. Like, you can go to Disneyland and get the experience in LA. Right. You can go get the Mickey Mouse, you know, ice cream. You can get the hat. You can take the picture. You can do all that. It doesn't matter if, like, there's an actual event happening. Right. You don't have to go to, like, the bicentennial of Disney World, or you don't have to go when, you know, a celebrity's there. You can just go and experience. Whereas that's what kids do. Kids don't create your revenue. The adults do. So if you want more people to come to your games, you need to give them reason to come to your games, like you had mentioned, which is a winning product.
Winning. Yeah.
People don't go to the games to sit in a seat and go, wow, isn't this nice? Team sucks, but man, it's great to be here, isn't it? It's not worth your time.
Right.
You want to be entertained. Right.
And the Angels lose 7-0.
And the season's over.
Right. Who wants that?
You want it on my porch.
And like, also, people want to be part of something that's fun and good.
Because someone makes a great point to what we're making, is that, like, they take their kid, they pay a little bit more to sit close because they want the opportunity to see Bobby Witt Jr. close, and then maybe also get Bobby Witt Jr. to sign the baseball card. That's a kid's experience. It would not matter if the Royals won 100 games or if they won 50 games. That kid's mindset's not going to change. Here's the reality of it. That kid's not spending any money at your ballpark. The parent is the one that has to do that. And I bet you that parent's not going to go to 60 games to try to get that baseball card signed. If it doesn't happen in one or two games and those seats are $150 a pop, dad ain't paying $300 more than a few times to go try to get that thing happen. You're going to have to figure out other ways to do that, whether that's spring training or whether that may be it. But yeah, you have to have a winning. Winning should be number one.
It should absolutely be number one.
Hope should be like the sixth thing you sell to a team,
but if,
fan base.
If you're an owner of a professional sports franchise and winning isn't written on the walls of your facility, and you know, even Dick Vermeil, the main thing is the main thing, and you walked into that facility, it was a picture of the Super Bowl trophy. I mean, that was 25 years ago. He was using that 30, 40 years ago when he was coaching the Eagles. The main thing is the main thing. It should always be about winning and always striving to get that championship. Because if you're not working every day to be the best in professional sports or in life, well, what are we doing here, right? Like, what are we seriously doing here if we're not out here trying to win every day? And what kind of message does that send to your team? Oh, Anthony Rendon, he's perfect for Anaheim. Well, winning doesn't matter. I'm not going to play. So, I mean, that's just the way that goes. But, I mean, if you're a Major League Baseball owner or any professional sports owner and winning isn't your ultimate goal and striving to put your organization in the best spot to win a championship every year, then you should probably sell that franchise and you should probably move on and sell it to somebody who's willing to put a winner out there for your fans, because that's all they want. At the end of the day, they're not going to remember the nice hot dog they had. They're going to remember those moments that their teams won championships.
You talked real quick before we go to break about closers and their lifespan. Somebody had mentioned on the text line, it felt like Eric Gagne was a closer forever. It was 3 years.
3 years.
It was 02, 03, 04. In 2000, 2001, he was a starter that failed. In 2002, 2004, he pitched 82 and a third innings all 3 years, 52 saves, 55 saves, 45 saves, 55 cheeseburgers, 55 hot dogs, 55 onion rings, had over 100 strikeouts in all 3 years. After 2004, the most innings pitched Eric Gagne would pitch in the remainder of his six-year career was 52 in one season.
They go down fast, man. That's crazy.
And the steroids wore off. Coming up on the other side, clear all history. I think that's what the move is here on this situation. On 96.5 The Fan, you're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's like horseradish. This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Hey, some news from Adam Schefter. While the NFL no longer is discussing a tush-push ban, the UFL will announce today that they are eliminating the tush-push.
I like how Schefter says a source when the UFL tweeted that out. This year we are banning the tush-push. They are also instituting four-point field goals.
Sweet.
Which is 60 yards or more is going to be a four-point field goal. And what I think is kind of cool, let me know what you guys think. Can't punt if you're in the other team's territory.
Ooh, that's great. Oh, that sucks if you're like the 30, you get sacked for 10 yards, the 40 now. Fourth and yep. 20. Sorry,
dude. So here are the rule changes right now for the UFL. And are any of these anything that you would like to consider in the NFL? Because the NFL does a great job of stealing from the XFL and the UFL. Mm-hmm. They really do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. The NFL can actually see this stuff play out. Like, they don't have to do test runs. They've got... The NFL, you want to talk about grifters. They got the greatest grift going on. They got this UFL, which will do all kinds of crazy things that the NFL won't do, but the NFL can see if it works, and if people like it, then they can steal it. And the other grift is they got now all the colleges paying for their minor league system. They don't need a developmental league anymore because they got the colleges doing that, and the owners are sitting back going, yeah, we just continue to make money, and all these other people do the dirty work for us. But so the teams will not be permitted to punt in the opposing team's territory except for in the last 2 minutes of each half, forcing either field goal attempts or fourth down conversion attempts. I'm okay with that. The tush push, QB sneaks in the NFL, prohibited. Receivers will only need 1 foot in bounds for a catch to be valid. Kicked extra points are coming back. Instead of having the option to convert an offensive scrimmage play from 2, 5, or 10 yards for 1, 2, or 3 points, teams will now be given the following options. A 33-yard kick for 1, or 2, or 8 yard offensive plays for 2 or 3 points. So you can go first and goal from the 2 for 2 points, or you can go first and goal from the 8 for 3 points.
Oh, God.
So you've got some good options. That's confusing for a lot of upper deckers with a lot of beer in their systems.
100%.
They're very confusing.
What are they doing? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Some guy's passed out in the upper deck, puking, waking up. Oh, it's down over 3. What? Charlie, what'd you say?
We have to leave now.
It's time to go. The league will also make small changes where players must line up during kickoffs and how overtime is decided. It's not going to make me watch this league. I'll be excited to see the highlights of this, the clips and stuff, the clips, because we're doing it for clips. But it'll be interesting to see the NFL monitor this and see if we do have. I like the 4-point field goal from 60 yards or more. In the NFL, I would probably do it from 65.
Damn, I'm
or
drafting
more.
Brandon Aubrey with like the 3rd-round pick.
But think about what kind of, but think of what kind of weapon that all of a sudden becomes. If you got a guy that can hit a 65 yarder or further,
let me tell you, get a new kicker.
But how many times do you see games that are 27-23 and you're like, damn, that's a 2-possession game. Now all of a sudden these 4-point games become 1-possession games and you have the opportunity to win it and not have to get as far down the field in the last couple of seconds, right? You only need to get to like the 45 yard line of the opponent. That would be basically your 65 yard field goal. Maybe the 47-yard line gives you your 65 yard field goal. So you just have to cross midfield. It makes scoring chances greater. And it closes that gap from that 4-point lead now being late in the game, a 1-possession game where you're not going to need a touchdown. And you can get a field goal to tie it to send to overtime. So a lot of strategy could potentially be changed too.
Oh, God.
Bob or Mr. Garrison, if you followed along to all that, what was the first step of the new rules that he just discussed? Because that's a lot of change and a lot of like.
Teams will not be permitted to punt in the opposing team's territory.
And Max said it would suck if you got sacked.
What was the rule after that? I had a question on.
Except for the last 2 minutes of each half.
Yeah, there's a rule after that you read.
The tush push is banned.
Okay, just the tush push, not QB sneak, or was it also QB sneak?
The tush push QB sneaks popularized in the NFL in recent seasons will be prohibited.
Okay, so tush push with QBs. Okay, weird wording. I was just making sure they weren't banning the QB sneak as well, because that'd be something.
So are you locked into the UFL?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Like Bob said, though, fun highlights. Excited for the clips.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how they work. You know, if it's something that starts to work and so, like I do. I like the punting idea, and I do like the field goal idea. The extra point stuff. It's just a little bit much. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I'm interested to see how that plays out. But I love different rules like this to kind of change the game. Man, a 4-point field goal, though, man, that changes everything in the NFL.
From the 785, those rules are dumb.
Mm.
Well said.
And gone.
Well, in that case, let's just go home for the day.
Yeah.
I don't like those rules. They're dumb. Don't like it. The Chiefs take Josh Simmons. Don't like that pick. Dumb.
I just saw Mel Kiper has your boy going to the Jets.
Caleb Downs.
Number two overall.
Number two overall pick.
High for a safety.
But he's the best player in the draft, right? If he's the best player in the draft, why is that too high, you know?
Exactly, right.
It's crazy. Like, this guy's the best player in the draft. Don't draft a safety that high. You just told me he was the best player in the
draft.
There's
no way it could be Jamal Adams again.
Gosh, that'd be so sad.
Yeah, dude.
He was actually good with the Jets.
He was good until,
And then he wanted to be traded because it's the Jets.
And then he was just bad.
And he was bad in Seattle. Once he left the Jets, he was bad. But he was good with the Jets.
The Titans signed him this year for like a week. It was weird. Yeah, he's done.
To what? Like be a fan and put a bag over his head? I put a bag over my head, too, if I was a fan.
You're just doing it for the clicks.
That's right. So yesterday... We saw the article, not article, but it was like a headline, I guess you'd call it, or a post.
Yeah, from Yahoo Sports.
That the Chiefs.
And Nate Taylor.
Yeah, we're going to keep taps on Tyreek Hill. Okay. I think that this is one of those situations where there's not as much as divide in the fan base that maybe I think there is, but it seems like I'm not giving it enough credit. Because I do think there are a lot of people that want Tyreek Hill back on Kansas City's roster. Now, I think a lot of those people are educated to know what they expect if he were to come back. I think those people are like, hey, Dusty, like, let me explain. And I listen. And it's, well, what if he comes back on a, you know, 1 year prove it deal because he may not be ready until like week 6 or 7. And he's like the third receiver in our receiving core, but still puts up really good numbers and can contribute to this team. And then he goes and gets contracts somewhere else, but makes this team kind of, you know, explosive again. I would say those are a lot of ifs because Tyreek Hill, we know, has a large family at this point. Tyreek Hill's age is getting up there, so the league is not going to be there forever. We know what his off-the-field history can be. We don't know how many people are going to be champing at the bit to have him do anything for them, whether that's TV, whether that is a podcast. His podcast obviously didn't last. And there's all those things. So the other if is like when he comes back, because we had found out that he's going to need another leg surgery, and we now know that from Nate Taylor and Yahoo and all these people that follow closely to this team, the Chiefs are going to keep taps on Tyreek Hill. I've listened to people say that it would be an okay option to bring him back. I also look at this in the regards of a relationship that ended. And I speak from myself. In probably the most serious relationship I'd ever had, which I think when the most serious the Chiefs were, was when Tyreek Hill was a part of this offense and they were unstoppable, right? Mahomes was the best he's ever been. Travis Kelce was in his prime. Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator. And all that sounds great. And the longest I'd ever been in a relationship, in a serious relationship, well over a year and a half, when it ended, it was like 2 weeks later and I was completely wiped off the face of the earth of that person's life. From Instagram, from Facebook, to anything and everything.
Like when you get fired in radio, you're gone off the website fast.
And the thing about this was I was confused because the relationship did not end on bad terms. It was just a mutual agreement of, I don't think we're going to go any further than where we've gone. We've gotten to the point of, you know, this is it. Honeymoon phase is over, moved in together, didn't work out, we're done. But I was confused as to why all of it was erased. I'm like, none of it mattered? Sure, it mattered, but it's no longer good for that person nor myself to be reminded of what there was, yep, because that is not currently what is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill on this team, in my opinion, is keeping those pictures up of you and her at the fair in 99 or you and him at, you know, your friend's wedding with a really funny photo. You're always going to find yourself, no matter who you are, how strong-minded you may be, going back and thinking, man, that was a good time. But that's not the current time. And Tyreek Hill is of the relationship of the past. I don't necessarily think Tyreek Hill's relationship ended on bad terms here. I think he wanted to get paid. The Chiefs were thinking about getting paid. Davante Adams set the market, and Tyreek Hill said, I want that kind of money. And organization said, we're not willing to do that. And they got Trent McDuffie out of it. Then Tyreek Hill went and did his heel move where he was like, all these sort of things. But we all knew it was just jealousy, and that sure does tend to happen. But I think the best thing to do is to clear all history and move on. I'm not saying that it's not a bad idea to think about it. I'm just saying it's not the idea that they should be going with because of where this team needs to go. You need to find the next wave, the next sort of run with the Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce may not be here in 2 years. Tyreek Hill may not be here ever again. Isaiah Pacheco might be gone. All these things that are going to factor into your team, I think it's best to just get rid of all what was the past. You can relish on it and talk about it like, oh, remember that one time? That one time against Denver where they said it was an incomplete catch and they should have challenged it because it was a catch. Maybe the sickest catch you've ever seen, not considered a catch in the end zone. Nonetheless, that was cool. That was great. But that's not who I am anymore. But I respect them for giving me that history. But now my current time period is now, and I don't think Tyreek Hill belongs in those next wave of moments or those next wave of the Kansas City Chiefs and the dynasty moving forward.
Well, no, I don't think he does either. I mean, I quite frankly, guys, I'm so tired of hearing about Tyreek Hill, right? And I know Andy addressed it the other day, and they're keeping tabs. I think that's one of those things that I look at and I go, I think that's Andy being nice, because I'm going to get to something that literally I just received in my email that I want to read some quotes from. But I always go back to the movie The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where these two people were dating and they broke up, but they needed to get their self out of each other's lives forever because it was doing that, you know, that mental harm. And you know, and so they went to see this doctor who erased those memories from their brain. I wish the Chiefs could have that with Tyreek Hill. I really do. And I wish a lot of fans could have that with Tyreek Hill, because people sit around and we have sat around this offseason. We've heard from a lot of fans. We want things different, right? New offense, different. And then they want Tyreek Hill back. Tyreek Hill, to me, has no business being a member of the Kansas City Chiefs ever again. There is no reason to continue to go back and put the band back together, because it's never successful. And there's a new website out there called sportsboom.us, right? And this article is about Tyreek Hill. It came from
Sports Boomers?
Sports Boom, written by Jason Lockenfora, and it's about Tyreek Hill. And he's got some quotes from some general managers, which I think are important for everybody to hear. Quote, "We aren't touching him," one general manager said. "No chance. We think he's done. He isn't a difference maker anymore. The juice isn't worth the squeeze, not even as a vet minimum guy for us." That's another general manager. "They weren't going to get anything for him in a trade," one NFL personnel exec said. "I don't think free agency is going to be very kind either." And so those are some talent evaluators around the league, you know, obviously off the record, telling Lockenfora, this guy's damaged goods. We have got to focus on something else and not sit around and worry about what the hell Tyreek Hill is doing or not doing. Tyreek Hill can't even be a figment of our imagination here in Kansas City, because bringing Tyreek Hill back is not changing. Bringing Tyreek Hill back is putting the band back together. Bringing Tyreek Hill back is the same old, same old. And at the end of this past season, we didn't want the same old, same old. We wanted new. We wanted something different. We wanted something exciting. Not a 75-year-old wide receiver who's going to try to go out there after a bum leg injury and try to play again. I think it's a big mistake. I would be very disappointed in the Kansas City Chiefs if they brought him back here. It is nothing but a distraction. It is nothing but a waste of time. It is nothing short of useless. Move on, find young, get young, start stacking this team for the future. Stop going back in time.
Yeah, when was the last time the Chiefs had an identity on offense? It feels like probably 2022. After the Legion of Zoom, they kind of figured out how to run the football a little bit, and, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, you know, dink and duck down the field. But since then, they've struggled to find an identity. So it feels safe, right, to go back to what was once awesome, to what was once elite and couldn't be stopped. And so you think that's safe, but you need to find something new. You need to find change. You need to get younger. And Tyreek can't be that solution. I'm all for bringing in a veteran wide receiver like Mike Evans with a draft and with bringing in a young free agent and all those sorts of things. Yeah, but going back to the well with Tyreek Hill, especially after all the injuries and everything, yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's a no.
I mean, we've seen these people all the time in life, right? You've got friends that get back together for like the third and fourth time. Like, what are you doing? Just move on, right? It gets comfortable. This team needs to be anything but comfortable at this point in time. They need to have growing pains. They need to move forward and do things differently, not only just for the 2026 season, but also moving forward as well. I mean, you're not going to get value out of Tyreek Hill. He's going to come in here. He's going to be a distraction. It's all anybody's going to want to talk about. And he's probably not going to produce to any level that anybody has ever seen Tyreek Hill produce before. And remember back in 2022, why did you get rid of him? Let's think about that. You got rid of him for a reason. You were ready to move on. You know, whether it was money, whether it was the Bengal game, you know, there's a lot of things. You were ready to move on from Tyreek Hill. Don't look back at now what would be 4 or 5 years ago and think you're going to recreate that. Because as we talked about with closers in baseball, wide receivers are kind of the same way. Speed guys are kind of the same way. You only have a certain amount of time in those legs before God says, you're done. And it sure seems like Tyreek Hill is done. He's just not a fit for this organization and where they are at this point in time. I can't have Tyreek Hill on one side and Travis Kelce on the other side and Anselmo trying to cover him. I mean, because that's what it ultimately is, man.
Well, then we'd have a chance.
We would, yeah. We absolutely would. But you can have Travis Kelce. That's great. He's fantastic. He's a great producer still for this team. Tyreek Hill is not. Don't waste a roster spot on somebody that isn't part of your future because you're trying to piecemeal it together for one last run in the sun. Those don't work, Andy. It didn't work in Philly for you. Don't do it here again. Don't do it again.
Yeah, I would just stay away. I just don't think it's worth, hey, do you want to get coffee and catch up on life? I respect that, but actually, no. I hope you're doing well, though.
That Thanks was my analogy right. last night. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
What's that? What are you going to gain?
Yep.
Right.
That was like, yep. Exactly, dude.
For about
feels good for a minute.
Yeah.
For a second.
We'll keep tabs on you, but we're not going to talk to you. You know, we'll Facebook. Yeah,
hope
you
you're
know.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you're doing well.
Wait.
Yeah,
we wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And somebody said, "Yeah, I'm going to try to forget about Wasp." That's the complete opposite of what I completely just broke down.
Well, I think
down.
That was in response to Bob. Forget about it.
Oh,
to
gotcha.
Forget oh, about come Hill. On. If you're taking it like that, that's on you. Don't be so foolish. Get Ben. With some text. Like, I mean, seriously. Oh, yeah, we forget about Wasp. Yeah.
Like, I think that there are certain people that are in your life. There are certain people that are in your life for a period and some people that are in your life forever. And I think Tyreek Hill was a period piece for the Chiefs. I don't think you can tell the Chiefs history without mentioning Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that when it's all said and done and you look at the Mount Rushmores and the top, players in the Chiefs organization, if Tyreek Hill cracks that list. I think there's a lot of people that were here for a long time and meant more to this franchise than for a short period of time that were changing times. That can also all be true, and none of it was really spoiled. Yeah, he ran his mouth when he went to Miami about Tua having the best deep ball and all this sort of stuff, but we knew that was all fake. He's just trying to fit into Miami. We knew he didn't mean it.
Right.
He couldn't stop talking about the Chiefs because he couldn't delete the history.
That's exactly right.
Going back to the pictures at the winery and going, man, what a time.
See, like that's happening right now with Tyreek Hill. He's selfish. He's a narcissist, right? He's grabbing all the attention this offseason for himself because if he doesn't do it, there's not going to be a lot of people talking about him because he's washed up, has been, right? He was fantastic. Best in franchise history. That's a long time ago. So what I'm interested more about is what's going to happen with A.J. Brown because Nick Sirianni has just said he can't guarantee that A.J. Brown will be back with the Eagles next season. Now, that's a conversation of somebody that I would like to bring in here because I don't think A.J. Brown is a problem child at all. I think A.J. Brown was just at the end of the line in Philadelphia because he saw what that offense was about last year and it really didn't involve him. And he wants to go somewhere where he can be a difference maker. I would be interested in seeing about getting A.J. Brown to Kansas City. I think he'd be a nice fit here in KC. Tyreek Hill. That's like bringing Soria back when the Royals did it for that second tour of duty. How'd that go? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's bring Soria back in 16. How about Gas Can Oria? I mean, my God. you don't go home again. You don't do this. You don't put the band back together. You don't reunite in sports.
Well, unless you're Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, the Chiefs have definitely had, I mean, Mecole Hardman, right? They've done this.
Yeah.
But not at this level.
But Kareem Hunt also, too, was kind of a panic move. They needed somebody. Didn't somebody get hurt? And like Pacheco got hurt, right? And he was on the couch.
Well, is the receiver room a panic room right now?
No, not now. It's not. If this is like September and some of your guys go down, then you've got panic moves. This time of year, no. It's February 24th. You got the whole offseason to set up your wide receiver
room.
Even
with the Rasheed Rice news.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think you're, and I don't think Tyreek Hill makes you better.
And panic may not be the right word, but I mean,
no, panic mode is like when you're in the middle of the season.
You don't have time. Yeah, you've got time.
I
got
to get a guy. You've got time to set up your plan right now.
Maybe dire. It is dire. The wide receiver room is dire. There are two names right there that are going to play the whole season.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm thrilled with the wide
receiver. There's a Worthy and Royals. Those are two names.
Those are two names. But I'm not saying I like the wide receiver room. I'm not saying I'm okay with the wide receiver room, but I'm not in panic mode right now with the wide receiver room. Is this is all we have and it's September 1st? Well, then we're having a different conversation, obviously. But on February 24th, no, I'm not in panic mode right now. I'm more in panic mode about Estevez playing for the Royals than I am at the wide receiver position for the Chiefs, because nothing has happened yet. They haven't not gotten anybody, and they know what they need.
A lot of Tyreek Hill supporting on the text line. A lot of A.J. Brown hate on the text line. Maybe we can talk more about that.
Well, because you saw Tyreek here and you don't know about A.J. Brown. That to me screams the unknown.
Well, right? And that's why I started the conversation off with saying that there are two sides on this whole thing. And I've listened to both and I'm trying to respond to both at the same time, because a lot of people are listening and not understanding or trying to listen to what they want to hear. There's been no slander on my part towards Tyreek Hill. I said it ended.
He slandered himself enough.
Yeah, he had a catastrophic knee injury. I don't necessarily think he's the same player ever again. That's just me. I mean, did Nick Chubb come back from his injury that was catastrophic the same?
No.
Not at all. So I do want to get into this Green Bay story because I do love the tease. It just says, hey, Green Bay, F off. But I'm not necessarily mad at what they're doing. We'll explain what Green Bay has decided to figure out in Lambeau here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Had a good conversation about the keeping tabs on the tab. We have to order something. Back to the Future. You dropped that last week.
Yeah. Can't order something. Just give me a tab. Can't give you a tab unless you order something.
Yeah. So Green Bay is upset, you could say, maybe. Because if you remember, to try to think if I can make this whole story straight, the cheese grater hats that came into Lambeau Field when the Bears beat them, those were Bears fans.
Mm-hmm.
How did Bears fans get those tickets? Well, they bought them from someone who sold them. And the people that sold them were season ticket holders for the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
Well, quote, our season ticket holders are central to Lambeau Field's significant home field advantage and the game day experience. Packers Vice President of Sales and Business Development, Craig Benzel, said in an item posted on the team's website, we continue to emphasize the purpose of having season tickets, which is to attend games and contribute to that atmosphere. Simply put, Packers season ticket holders who purchase their tickets with the sole intent of reselling them should not be Packers season ticket holders.
Okay.
He's big mad. They lost to Caleb Williams because other fans got to come into their game.
That's what it was.
They wear cheese grater hats.
You know what?
How did they get cheese graters into the game?
Yeah.
2025.
You put it on your head. I think it's probably made of foam or whatever.
I would hope so.
But
some guy.
Yeah, some guy. I mean,
he had like Parmesan.
I mean, back in the day, if you just wore cargo shorts, you could smuggle anything into KU football games. Believe me, I know. But
Ask Flanny.
Yeah, that's true.
Pack of heaters in one and a flask in the other.
I mean, that was pretty much every KU football game. You know, that's what you did. And right. Then you met at halftime and left.
Dropped off his stick.
Let's meet under the stands at halftime and get the hell out of here. All right, we'll be back. Watch the fourth quarter from home. But I don't think you should be able to tell people what they're going to do with their season tickets. First of all, you're making them buy preseason games, which is one of the biggest scams known to man. So you got to factor that in for people as well. So two of your 10 games are fake. The rest of them, you know, there's going to be days where you can't go, where you're very busy committing to going to 8 or 10 NFL games, or any games for that matter, is very difficult for people on their time. And the amount of money that are charged for season tickets now, I don't have a problem with people selling them and getting their dough back for some of the games that they can't make. I just don't think you can put a limit on it. And with the cost that are season tickets right now, and the commitment that is season tickets right now, yeah, I don't know how many people truly go to every single game. There's few fans out there that do and have the ability to do that. God love you. You have the ability to go to every single game. My man Dan Joy's first game this year, which will be a preseason game, marks his 250th consecutive Kansas City Chiefs home game. Whoa. Counting the ones that have been played overseas.
He's like the Cal Ripken of Chiefs fans.
Yeah, Dan's the best.
He's the Iron Man of fans.
That's the Iron Fan.
So that's what his nickname is, the Iron Fan.
The Iron Fan. Dan Joy, the Iron Fan. Hey, I mean, they need to honor him. No, it's great, but they do. The Chiefs need to honor Dan Joy. 250 consecutive
home games a year.
And that's the other thing, right?
Well, playoffs,
but,
I guess,
but
count.
No, but the playoffs and preseason counts. He counts all.
Instead of playing, what, two playoff games?
But two preseason games. But even still, say two. It's insane, right?
That's nuts.
It's like if there were 25 games, that would be a 10-year run. But we know there's like eight, so he's been doing this for a very long time, back when the Chiefs obviously, you know, were no good, and we were doing, you know, how loud can the stadium be, and Lot D, you know, all those folks over there are such great human beings. I love them all to death. And so Dan's going into his 250th game, but I don't know how many people can put together like that. And so if you want to sell some of your tickets to make some money back, you know, I got some friends that have club level seats to the Chiefs. They have three for themselves. They have two others. They sell the other two. They make their nut back on the tickets that they sell. And, you know, for a lot of times, it is Chiefs fans that they're selling them to, because they want to come here and see what's happening. I think you get a very small population of the other team. And if Green Bay really wants to curb it, then you know what? How about we make every game an individual game, and you just buy tickets, you know, for each game that you want to do, or something of that nature, and get rid of the season ticket altogether, because we're going to get to a point where there's only going to be a certain percentage of the people that can truly afford season tickets to an NFL game and what these teams are going to be asking. Packers are also mad that the fans are getting more on the secondary market than they're getting selling them for face value too. So that
it should factor in.
Every team runs their own secondary sales site through Ticketmaster. So, and most teams have deals with ticket brokers that they sell them tickets to as part of their contract with their whatever ticket broker they're in. So the teams are selling these tickets out the back door. Every team's doing it to ticket brokers that they have deals with.
I guess I don't read this by saying don't sell a game, don't sell a couple of games. I didn't read that when I got this. Like, don't sell every game, because you've got people purposefully buying these season tickets and making money off of them and not going to any games. I think that's what this article is concerned about. Yeah.
How many people are that, though? Like, what percentage?
It's enough that it's making its way. They've got 155,000 people on the waiting list, they said, for Packers season tickets. So I think they do have people that would want to go.
Yeah,
so I don't
think
that's fair to say, I don't think there's a lot of people. Yeah, I think 155,000 people want to go, and I think 50 of those would split at 50-50. I'll go to four, you go to four. That's what most season ticket holders do.
That's what we do.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll pick two, you pick two, you're right.
My buddy that has season ticket at the Chiefs, he has two, and his other buddy has two.
That's awesome.
So that they're always, the four are always together, but he picks all the games he wants to go to early, because he's like, my wife does not like going to football games after December.
Fair enough.
Let alone December moving on. He's
cold
like,
as balls.
So here's the four games left. Do any of you guys want any shot at him? And we pay face value. And then if he ends up not wanting to go, he'll just give us the other ticket, and we then try to find somebody to buy it. And then that's how that happens. But there's no way he's going to all eight.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
I mean, my dad and I had quarter season tickets for the Royals for like 2 years.
I mean, I don't know how you get to 20 baseball games.
And we went to like
12, and we thought we got our money's worth.
Yeah, like that's a lot, man. It's a time commitment. Like, yeah, you're right. A quarter season ticket to Major League Baseball, 20 games is a lot.
And it's always like a Tuesday and like a Thursday. Exactly. Yeah. It's like one of those like bridge.
And then if they're losing, like, I don't really want to go.
No,
and
it's like, hey, this game starts at 6:30. Dad, what time are you off? 5:45. Be ready to go when I get there.
But this also rings of like, if you have a problem with a couple of people, why don't you call them personally instead of blasting out an email like this to all of your season ticket holders? Because the way that I read it was like, all right, everybody's on notice. You start selling your tickets, we're going to come revoke them from you. And I'm like, hey, that's not a fair thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a couple hundred people that are doing this. Reach out to those people and say, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. We got 155,000 people on the waiting list. We know you've been here for a while, but if you continue to sell your entire season on the open market, we are going to revoke those season tickets because we do have other people that are waiting for you. Like, give them a warning or put in a plan, because it was also just jumbled. There was no, if you sell X amount of games,
I would've liked that more.
I need more of that. Like, they need to really put a plan into place. Here is our new ticket policy. Let's say that takes effect in 2030. That way you got some years to kind of get it, everybody used to it. But in 2030, here's our new ticket policy, and this is the way it's going to be. If you put that in black and white and people violate it, then that's a different conversation.
That's a different thing, yeah. I like them trying to get more fans there. I do like that. I mean, our boss, Spector, going over to Europe, going over to Great Britain to watch some European soccer.
So cool.
He talked about how tough it was to get a ticket and how secondary markets ain't a thing. They want fans there. So I do respect that. I like that.
Yeah, or you can pay $3,000 and get the VIP package and get your ticket into the game. So, I mean, they're probably absolutely 100% looking at that and thinking right now. Don't kid yourself, Mac. I'm sure if the NFL could figure out a way to make more money that way, they would end their relationship with Ticketmaster in that secondary market and go that route, because that's what the EPL does. Because I legitimately asked Steven, Ryan from Cactus and I are talking about going over there to watch games. And we're like, how do you get tickets to this stuff? And especially, like, we had to buy this VIP package.
Yeah,
it was like,
whole deal.
You know, there's no StubHub.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
No. Overseas.
Probably works a lot better, too.
Probably does.
Yeah. Coming up on the other side, we get the Start Bench Cut. It is brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Tow as we dive through Start Bench Cut on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Terry Hardee's is closed.
Well, that's done.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, it is that time of year, folks. Spring break is here. We got a couple of weeks, and everybody's going to be headed out of town. And if you're flying, you need to make a reservation for your car at Park & Go so your car is protected when you are out of town. You're going to be having a great time wherever you go, and your car wants to have a great time, too. It wants to be covered up, and Park & Go has all covered parking, and it's so easy to make your reservation. Just go to bookparkandgo.com and reserve your covered parking spot right now. You can use their easy-to-use app as well. And you're going to prepay, because when you prepay, you get their lowest rate and you're going to save cash. Now you're ready to go. Show up on the day of your trip, give them that reservation number, and they will direct you to that covered parking spot that's been reserved for you. When you get into that spot, the van meets you and it's right to the airport you go. And when you get back, just grab your bags, walk outside, jump in the van, and it's right back to the trunk of your car. So join their frequent parker program like we did and earn points towards free parking. Reserve your spot today at bookparkandgo.com. The best deals in parking. Bookparkandgo.com. Park & Go, family owned and operated.
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.